All right, can I have a couple people help me with the communion? Take time to remember the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank Him for His broken body and His passion and everything that He went through. When we look at this, we see the perfect, sinless body of our Lord Jesus that was beaten and bruised for us. We look, we notice that there are stripes in this bread, and the Bible tells us that it's by His stripes that we were healed. And we notice that this bread has been pierced, and Jesus' body was pierced, not just by a Roman when he thrust his spear into his side, but his body was pierced when he got a crown of thorns on his head. His body was pierced when he got nails in his hand. His body was pierced when he got nails in his feet. Every time Jesus' body was pierced, he shed blood. And we get some redemption in some area for that shed blood. And if you'll notice that this bread is slightly burned, that means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that we deserved, was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. God wants us to look at that sacrifice and see Jesus on that cross, see all of our sins, see all of our sicknesses, all of the diseases of the world, all of the shortcomings, every part of the curse laid on Jesus, so that we can walk in His redemption. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. That perfect, sinless blood of Jesus was shed all over the place. It was a vicious sacrifice. And it's because of that blood that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And it's because of that blood that all of our sins have been washed away. And that blood gives us the boldness to enter into His throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Open your Bibles up to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. Did you know that God goes out of His way to bless you? Sometimes in our challenges, it may seem hard to understand that. But God really does go out of His way to bless you and meet your needs. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11, says, "I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happened to them all. Now, if you just read that and take it for what it says right there, you'll walk off thinking that you'll get lucky once in a while. You know, we don't live by luck. We don't live by luck. That's not God's standard for us. You have to realize that we have a high priest, and his name is Jesus. And the Bible tells us that he ever lives to make intercession for the saints. That's us. That means we have the most anointed, most powerful word of faith preacher that ever walked the face of this earth praying for us. How about that? And there's some people waiting for some anointed rascal from Florida or some far off distant city waiting for him to come show up at some convention and pray for us. You got Jesus. Receive his blessings. Receive his best for your life. Now with them, we're not really waiting on luck. We're not waiting on time and chance. Well, the correct translation of that is that God causes us to be in the right place at the right time so that right happenings can happen to us because Jesus has been praying for us. Have you ever ended up somewhere and you don't really understand exactly why it is you ended up there, but you just happened to be at the right place at the right time for something really good to happen to you? It wasn't just luck. It wasn't because the angels were flipping coins to see which way they're going to send you. It was Jesus causing you to be where you needed to be at the right time. Now maybe you didn't understand it, but see, with practice, we can listen to God and we can follow him to be where he wants us. It takes a little bit of practice and a little bit of time to get that down. When we hear that still quiet voice on the inside of us saying, you know, go over here. You know, one really neat thing, when I was in Bible school, there was a church there that was doing a big outreach, and they wanted us to come help go into these neighborhoods and witness to people. And see, God, he's big. And people have this curious habit of trying to put God in these neat little boxes. Like they know what they're doing. So we went to this church, and they put us in teams, and they gave us certain little blocks that we needed to each go to. You know, this team goes over here, and this team goes over here, and this team goes over there, and this team goes over there, and you go witness to people and get people born again. So, okay, so we got our assignment. We got our little team. And this lady, she was the praise and worship leader of that church. And anyway, so I'm riding along, and we got our assignment. We got our area that we're supposed to go to, and we're driving down the road. And I said, turn right here. And she said, that's not our neighborhood. And I said, I don't care. Turn right here. She said, well, that's not where we're supposed to go. There's somebody else going. I said, go down that road. So she turns down that road. We go down for a ways. And I said, when you get down here to this stop sign, take a right. And she said, okay, you're crazy. So we go down there. We take a right. And I said, pull up in front of that house where that man is standing. She said, okay. So she pulled up in front of that house where that man was standing out there underneath this You know where they got these little roofs over, just barely a stoop there, and they got a little roof over? He was standing in the shade there. So I walked up to him and I said, "You need to get born again, and you need to get that way right now." And he looked at me kind of funny. He said, "You know, my wife just left me." I said, "Well, the first step is turn your life over to God." I said, "No, I've been a Catholic all my life." I said, "You need to get born again right now." So he did. And I never seen the man again. I don't know how many people God may have told to go witness it to that guy. I just happened to be the one that heard him at the right time to be at the right place at the right time so that man could get born again. See, God tells us to be in certain places at certain times so that we can receive blessings. He also tells us to be at certain places at certain times so somebody else can be blessed through us. See, it's not just about us. There's other people involved in this world. I want you to look at John chapter 4. And this is one of the coolest stories ever. Not just a story, it's the truth. But John chapter 4, verse 1. "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh the woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that sayest thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Now we'll go on here. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. You know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah has come, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. That verse 4 right there. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of... Well, wait a minute. Verse 4 says, he must needs go through Samaria. Did you know something, that it was 3 days closer to go through Samaria to get to Galilee? See, Jesus was on his way to Galilee. And if he just cut through Samaria, it was 3 days close. 3 days closer. But did you know that the Jews will go 3 days out of their way to avoid Samaria? I wonder how many Christians today avoid the hard places. I wonder how many Christians today avoid the hard people. See, if you'll notice in verse 5, it says, then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. That verse says that he went to Sychar, which means falsehood and drunkenness. It was a name of reproach. See, today we have groups of people that are sorted off. Did you know there's still segregation in this world? It means separation. When I was in Bible school, there was a place in Midland called the Flats, and it was a rough place. There was somebody down there getting shot all the time. It was a hard place to be. But one of our assignments was to witness to people. And I noticed there wasn't any long lines of people going down to the Flats. So there was no competition. And there was a really good barbecue place down there. So I was all in. I spent a lot of time in the Flats. Well, one time, the son of a Word of Faith preacher came up to me and he said, was that your pickup I seen parked down at the Flats? I said, yeah. And he said, you're kidding me. I said, no. He said, I won't even stop in the Flats. See, the Flats was a modern-day sidecar. To most of the Christians, they didn't want to be there because it was a tough place. It was a hard place. There was a lot of drunkenness there. They didn't want to deal with it. Did you know that God called us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? He didn't tell us to pre-qualify anybody. One of the most annoying prayers I ever heard in my life. Well, I heard somebody say, God, send the people to this church that are right for this church. I don't know anybody that's not right. If they're not born again, they need to be here. If they are born again, they need to be here. If they're backsliding and they're born again, they need to be here. It's the church of God. It belongs to Him. Everybody is qualified by the blood of Jesus to go to church. You know, Jesus went into a hard place. He was around the drunkard. And this woman had had 5 husbands, and the man that she was with currently was not her husband. But But Jesus didn't look down his nose at her. He told her the answer. He told her how to get out of the mess that she's in. He didn't condemn her. Look over to verse 16. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said unto him, said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou know now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. Jesus, it doesn't ever talk about Jesus ever talking to that woman before, does it? This is the first account of him talking to her. He had a word of knowledge for her. That's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Out in the world. Not inside the church. Out in the world. He let the gifts of the Holy Spirit operate out there. And he gave her a word of knowledge so that she could be set free. Not to condemn her, but that she could walk free. He knew what she was doing. He knew how she was living. And he told her about it, not in a condemning way, but in a way to lead her to freedom. You know, there's a lot of people running around that feel too condemned to go to church. You know, some of those people are born again. They think that the mistakes that they've made in their life are too much. I want you to know that there's no mistake you ever made in life that is more than the blood of Jesus. You know, there's nobody out there that's so horrible that the blood of Jesus can't take care of it. I don't care what kind of sin somebody may have done. Jesus is more than what they've done wrong. But this idea that the church has of people getting cleaned up and coming to church is crazy. The first thing you need to know about redemption is it's a messy, messy process. And people are not going to get cleaned up without Jesus. See, I lived that verse with the church being having it just backwards and using it on me firsthand. So I know how frustrating it is for people to go through this. They'll come up and they'll say, you need to get cleaned up. You need to quit drinking. You need to quit smoking. You need to quit hanging around at the bars. You need to quit running around with wild people. And then you need to go marry some young girl and go to church. And it's like, I'd sit there and I'd think, Letty, if you knew how many times I quit drinking, your head would spin. But what they were telling me is if I would quit fulfilling the lust of the flesh, I would be able to walk in the Spirit. But see, that's just the absolutely exactly opposite of what the Bible says. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. What they needed to be telling me said, I don't care how messed up you are. I don't care how broke you are. I don't care what side of the tracks you come from. I don't care who you've been hanging out with. I don't care where you've been going. You need to come on in, go to church, let God sort it out. That's the only way you're going to survive. See, I never made one positive step forward until somebody actually came and told me that.
I
They said, I don't care what you did, call on the name of the Lord Jesus and he'll save you. Well, that was refreshing because they had a habit of telling me I was going to go to hell. I already knew that. You know, a lot of people know they're on the way to hell. They just don't know how to get out of it. And then sometimes they run into somebody who does go to church and they try to lay a bunch of rules down on them, and they can't live with rules. They know they can't keep them. They're in the same shoes that woman at the well was in. They know they're toast. They're just waiting for somebody. They're just waiting for somebody to come and show them the answer. You know, another interesting thing about this is she was a descendant of Jacob. That means they were relatives. That means they had blood relatives that would walk out of their way 3 days to avoid them. Have you witnessed to all of your family members? You know, I'm glad that I had an opportunity to witness to all of my direct family. They didn't have a choice. I had them held hostage. I did my dad's funeral. I had his ashes right there. And they were going to, by God, listen to me until I put him in the ground. So they heard the gospel, every one of them. So I know I did what I could do. But what about people around us? Do we give them a chance to hear the gospel? Do we give them a chance to hear about a way out? Do we go out of our way to avoid the hard places, or do you go directly into those hard places and tell people which way's up? See, sometimes the people that need to be born again aren't the gentlest people out there. I noticed one thing is, I didn't catch on to it real fast, but I noticed that these preachers, they started calling me and asking me to go into some places and talk to people. And I was eager to go do something. So I go. And then one day I had this revelation that if there was a chance at getting a bloody lip, I was getting a call. If it was a scary place, I was getting a call. If it was a tough place, I was getting a call. But you know what? God took care of it. It was okay. Just go. He will take care of you. That doesn't mean you won't get a bloody lip. It can happen. But go anyway. God will take care of you. It'll be all right. See, the gift of knowledge was in effect there, and Jesus asked her in verse 16 that question to help her locate herself. One of our things is we need to help people locate people in this world. You know, don't get into a religious discussion with them. But ask them questions. That cross you're wearing, is that a good luck charm? Or do you really know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I actually had a guy tell me one time, I was hoping somebody would tell me. He got born again right there. People are looking for answers. People want answers. Just like that woman in the well, she had lived a life of condemnation. And she didn't know any way out. She was looking for an answer. And you know, God caused her to be in the right place at the right time so that right happenings could happen to her. She didn't just get lucky one day and go to the well, and there's Jesus, the King of the Jews, sitting at the well. That was not luck. Verse 35, all the way down to verse 35. The Father, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Therein is the saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. You know, that's our lesson of missionary work. Sometimes people feel rejected if they go witness to somebody and they don't get born again. God doesn't want you to have that attitude. See, Jesus explained to us in the Bible, said that the sower sows the word. We're the sowers. We're not responsible for the outcome. We're responsible for sowing the word. One sows, another reaps. So, you may talk to somebody and talk to somebody and talk to somebody and talk to somebody. It may go on for months and even years. And then all of a sudden, somebody else comes by and talks to them and they get born again. And then you go stomping off mad, pouting, because you've been talking to him for years and you couldn't get him born again. And all of a sudden, this slick comes in here, talks to him for 15 minutes and he gets born again. Don't have a resentment. You did your work. You did your job. You sowed and you sowed and you sowed and you sowed. And then the man got born again. You played a major part in it. Remember, it's Jesus. He's the Savior, not us. They got born again. Praise God. You got to be part of it. I've often wondered this. You know, the Bible says there's coming a time when the reaper will overtake the sower. Because I've wondered, I've witnessed the people, I'd meet them, and I'd talk to them for 5 minutes, they'd be born again. It's not because I'm so cool, it's not because I'm so slick, but here's what happened. Somebody else told them about Jesus. There's somebody else been praying for them. There's the Holy Spirit that's been drawing them to the cross. And there's Jesus that's been causing people to be in the right place at the right time. I just happened to be there because he got me there and he got that guy there. And that guy had an open heart and I said some words to him of the gospel, and he got born again. I was a part of it, but there was people all over the place praying. You know, there's people all over the world that are praying for the lost. So we get to be a part of it. But when you sow the word, don't feel bad If they reject it, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the word. They're rejecting Jesus. But we keep sowing and we keep sowing and we keep sowing. And then pretty soon, some of that seed is going to hit some good ground. And then maybe he may use you to get them born again, or he may use somebody else to get them born again. But the main thing is, they got born again. But I know this much. If we don't go into the hard places and tell them about Jesus, they're not going to hear about it. Somebody has to go into the hard places. Somebody has to talk to the hard people. Somebody has to let them know that God loves them and that Jesus died on the cross for them. And if they just call on the name of the Lord Jesus, they shall be saved, and then drag them to church. Regardless of what kind of clothes they have. Regardless of what side of the tracks they come from, regardless of how much money they don't have, we don't pre-qualify anybody. They're all qualified by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your saving grace and your mercy that is renewed every day. Father, we thank you that every morning we wake up, we got a fresh basket full of grace and a fresh basket full of mercy and a waterfall of forgiveness in the shed blood of Jesus. Father, help us to see each new day as a whole new adventure with you, and show us how to take the best advantage of it and be of the most use in your kingdom as possible. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. All right.